I can't hear.
Howdy. I figured since we were doing Batman first, I would invite Chris up for this because Chris loves Batman so much.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm like, it's an easy last minute guest. And he has now seen the movie 3 times in theaters and a couple more times ripped from the internet, I believe. So
Yeah. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go watch it for the second time on Tuesday, probably.
Attaboy, yeah. It is coming out in April, HD on HBO.
Yeah, they're doing a rush on that one to get it out on video,
which is crazy. That's just a bad move. I mean, Spider-Man raked in so much fucking money, like, but the Batman, like, they're just gonna throw it out on streaming and it's not gonna make as much money. Like, it made like $150 million in pre-sales.
Yeah.
I know that, like, a lot of people, like, went to see Spider-Man No Way Home in theaters, obviously. But I felt like the Batman had more of a must-see feel almost when I went to the theater than Spider-Man No Way Home, weirdly. I wouldn't have expected that. But it's like, everybody I talked to about Spider-Man was like, oh yeah, I want to see that movie. But so many people I've talked to about the Batman are like, I have to see this movie. Like,
it's see, crazy. And I've got a much different read on it for myself. So why don't you give us our opening, Colin?
Yeah, I was just going to say, how does this start?
What day did this open? I'm thinking I'm going to put this preamble on just in the beginning for fun anyway, because we were right into it and already recording. So,
it's March 4th.
March 4th? Okay, give us that and let's do this.
All right. The date is March 4th, 2022, and we're watching The Batman. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello, and welcome to another bonus mini-sode of I Used to Like This One. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Bruce Wayne to my Batman.
Hello, I am Colin Stewart.
And we've never done this on a mini-sode before, but we brought in a guest just because he is such a Batman fan. We talked to him recently, only a few weeks ago. Please welcome back my son, Chris Wells.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Right on.
I love Batman. So yeah. I said, I think, recently to you that if you do anything Batman-related, I'm there if you want to do Adam West. But I think you're doing that already.
So that's right.
I missed that one, unfortunately. But yep. If you're doing Batman Returns or you're doing anything like that, Batman and Robin even, fuck it. I just, anything Batman-related, I'm in.
Well, spoiler alert, Batman the movie is next week, and we're excited because we've got a guest for that one. And so we'll leave it at that for anyone that listens to this episode. So now, Colin, there is something that the people deserve right now, and I think only you can give it to us.
What is it?
Spoilers!
Oh, spoilers.
Spoiler alert!
certainly.
I catch you on that every time! Yeah. Holy shit!
I was just waiting on bated breath. Yeah, so unlike most movies we watch, this one is fairly recent, so I completely understand if you want to hold off on listening to it, because there will be spoilers ahead, and I would hate to have this movie spoiled for you, so please do yourself and my conscience a favor, and if you haven't seen the movie, hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
Yeah, so super spoilery. Here we go, Matt Reeves, The Batman. Okay, first off, I want to have kind of the lead-up reactions from you guys. Because I did mention to you guys earlier that I have to see this movie guy. I was like, I'll see it because it's Batman, but this wasn't the hugely anticipated movie of the year for me personally. Part of it is just all the delays in production. Part of it is, there is the Pattinson factor. Colin, when you went to see this in theaters, you had a very hilarious encounter. Why don't you tell everybody what you witnessed when you went for snacks?
Yes, so I mean, I'll talk first a little bit about kind of my like you were saying, Sean, like the preamble to this movie. So, I mean, for me, any
Pattinson
Batman
factor was a big one for me. I will say that just out of the way. Yeah.
For me, any Batman movie is a must-see movie, but I will admit that I am a big fan of the Ben Affleck Batman, and I was very, mm-hmm. like, I was very, very angry that I didn't get to see the continuation of that, especially with the Joe Manganiello Deathstroke. I just wanted to see what that was going
to
be.
You wanted to tie up those ends. Yeah, I mean, the audience couldn't hear this at home, but Chris was shaking his head at that Affleck. Yeah. So we'll get to Chris in a moment. But go on, sir.
So the first kind of views that I saw of this one, I'll admit, when Pattinson was announced, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, my voice. When Pattinson was announced to take on Bruce Wayne, I was like, ugh, like, not the guy I would have picked.
Nope.
But I will admit, I think he's a great actor. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was kind of like, I'm open to seeing how it's going to go. Yeah. And then we got kind of the first glimpse of the suit. And yeah. I was not enthusiastic about that suit the first time I saw it.
It looked like the guy's wearing hockey pads in The Dark Knight. That's mm-hmm. what the suit looked like. Yeah. Mm.
And then I saw the first trailer and I fell in love.
Okay.
Because I thought just the tone of the movie, well, the way the trailer made it look with the sound, the like score, just that noir feel. And, you know, I love the Batmobile. That scene that they show in the trailer where he's chasing the Penguin and it comes flying through the fire.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, just epic. So going into this movie, I was very excited to watch it. As Sean alluded to, while I was waiting to go in, I decided to go get a drink, which, I mean, given the runtime of this movie, proved to be a very big mistake.
Yep. Stop drinking like 3 hours before you go in, people. Yeah.
Yeah, I think our friend Frank from Frankfully Honest did a review of the movie as well. Yep. I mentioned that, and I had to write him and tell him, like, yeah, I all that rushing water flooding the city at the end made it really, really hard for me to not squirm. But anyways, I was standing in line to get my drink, and behind me this guy, and I assume it was his girlfriend, were talking, and, you know, not to be sexist, but like most women, I could tell that she wasn't really too familiar with the movies that had come before mm-hmm. or like Batman in general.
Yeah.
And she was just asking him about, like, you know, how this one fit into all the other ones. And he was like, oh, no, you know, it's a brand new thing. It's on its own. And she was like, oh, I really like the Christian Bale ones. And this guy says, to my shock, he says, yeah, you know, I think I'm more excited for this movie than I was for any of the Christian Bale ones. And so then my ears like perk up a little bit. And I'm like, oh, like, that's interesting. And his friend asks why. And then he says, well, I just think that Robert Pattinson is a better actor than Christian Bale, which, I mean, that's like the most out of left field comment I think I would ever expect a human being to utter.
Yeah, like, because Bale has his behind the scenes hijinks, but
yeah,
boy, like, does he put out some good performances?
They're both tremendous actors.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the cast of American Psycho were like blown away by the fact that he could sweat on command at the same point in each take of the scene they did. With the business card scene, like a bead of sweat would roll down his fucking forehead, like he made it happen. I want to say also, just to get it out, like, Robert Pattinson, tremendous actor, fuck Twilight or whatever. Even Twilight for what it is okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let Colin finish though. He's got a good ending to this. Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy, you know, I just think that objectively, Christian Bale is a superior actor to Robert Pattinson. I'm not taking anything away from him, from Robert Pattinson, but, like, if you look at Christian Bale's roles, like you said, American Psycho, The Machinist, The Fighter.
Dick Cheney
in Vice, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
when I see Robert Pattinson on the screen, he's Robert Pattinson. When I see Christian Bale, he's not Daniel Day-Lewis, but, like, he'll be there soon, I think. You know what I mean? Like, his ability to get engrossed in a character and in a role is on another level. And so I was just blown away that this guy would say this. And I didn't want to interrupt. We're all back. COVID is newly finished, kind of. And I don't want to get back into people's faces because, you know, I don't know what side he's on and if he's that crazy enough to say something like that. I just didn't want to get into it. Yeah. But anyways, I watched the movie, and my honest assessment, I feel like that guy was kind of vindicated by the Batman. I'm not super familiar with all of Robert Pattinson. Like, definitely I'm not as familiar with Robert Pattinson as I am with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
But I think, and I've had a little bit of pushback, but I still stand by, I think that Robert Pattinson, I said it to my friend this way at first, I think he's Batman in the best Batman movie ever made. But the more I think about it, I also think he is the best Batman. He's the truest Batman to the comic books, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in a way, I think he is kind of better than Christian Bale in this outing. Because yeah. I think that Christian Bale, like, as Batman is great, but I think the Nolan, like, Christopher Nolan is just great. Like, I think those movies are just great Christopher Nolan movies, but and they're a Christopher Nolan take on Batman, but they're not Batman. You know what I mean? Like, he's, the more I think about it, I almost think he's like Iron Man light. And I do think that Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne is more traditional about what you
is
what you would expect. Mm-hmm. But the Pattinson Bruce Wayne works perfectly. And it's such a unique take that I think you can't take anything away from it. I think it works well in the context of the tone of this movie.
The fact that I would think that the reclusive billionaire who's never seen, who just appeared out of nowhere after traveling abroad, might be the Batman.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. Yeah.
that's the reason for the Bruce Wayne persona, is because you see him, like, in the Dark Knight or whatever, you see him hop into a fountain with two ballerinas, and you go, there's no fucking way that guy could be the Batman.
Yeah.
But you see this guy who shows up twice a year for big events, and he's always looking over his shoulder, and he's all sketchy and stuff in public. Somebody might put two and two together.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to get to Chris's, you know, experience with leading up to the Batman. But
I've been holding off because I have so much to
say. But I do, while we are on the subject of Bruce Wayne, I want to say that the Bruce Wayne that Robert Pattinson gave us, this moody goth kid that, you know, just stands there very still all the time, looking very pale, like he's still a vampire. I think it does set up, though, for a sequel of him learning how to become a better Bruce Wayne.
Perhaps a Robin softens him up. That would be my fucking, oh.
I was thinking Alfred was going to take on that role. But anyway, Chris, you did start shaking your head when Colin mentioned Batfleck. I do personally also enjoy a Ben Affleck Batman. The movies weren't good, but I thought his Batman was. But why are you shaking your head at that? And also, I mean, and what is kind of your experience from the Batfleck to through the Pattinson now?
So Batfleck, just not my cup of tea. Those movies are just so dark and not very good. Ben Affleck's perfectly fine. He's a tremendous actor. He definitely made a very good Bruce Wayne. That one scene where he beats the fuck out of everybody and punches that one dude's face into the floor. Excellent. Yeah. Definitely one of the coolest Batman fight scenes. But at the end of the day, Batman's number one rule is not to kill people. And that Batman is the biggest fucking murderer ever.
Colin is holding his tongue. He crashes his car into a semi that has a dude in it.
He flips a car 30 times and then plows through it by shooting it to bits with his machine gun. And it's filled with bad guys. Like, they're bad dudes. And the Martha, and they're bad movies is the problem. I have no problem with Ben Affleck Batman.
Rebuttal caller.
rebuttal. First off, I agree with everything that you're saying. I will say that there is a difference between the thing that kind of killed Batfleck for me, and I think for him, is the Joss Whedon Justice League. I think if we had gotten only the Zack Snyder one, like that, between those two movies, that was the starkest change for me, was who Batman is in either of those movies. Like that scene in Justice League when he's like, after Superman beats them all up in the park and he's like, oh, it hurts so much. Like that killed that Batman for me. To your point about him killing everybody, I will say that that is a fair rule to have, but almost every cinematic Batman, if you really think about it, has murked people.
Robert Pattinson is the first Batman to not murder somebody since Batman and Robin.
Okay, well,
my last thing to say about the Ben Affleck Batman verse is it's more of a complaint at DC. This Batman, while we may pick up in the middle of his story and it might be difficult for newer audiences to join in on the Batman fun, it's a lot more earned than where we pick up with Ben Affleck's Batman. Affleck's Batman has been doing this for 20 years and he's supposed to be the best and whatever. And it would have been cool if we had worked up to a Dark Knight Returns instead of starting in Dark Knight Returns. It feels so unearned. The only reason that comic book is as good as it is because it's just this random fresh take on the Dark Knight that came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It seems so unearned to start at the end of Batman's story, or at least one of the furthest places we've gotten in canon or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like if there, and that's always my complaint has always been that there should have been a Batman movie before Batman vs. Superman that showed us Robin getting horribly murdered ended
the tone.
And ended at the point where Batman picks up in Batman with like the buildings crashing. Then, because it's like, I do the mental, like you said, Chris, like I don't think people would jump in, but it's like I can do the mental gymnastics of like, oh, well, this is a guy who's like got all destroyed. These people taken from him and is like more emotionally and mentally destroyed, which to me also is like informs why he's like has no bones about snapping people's arms and stabbing people in the chest and killing people and all that, because it's kind of just like a Batman who's on his way out, like he's ready to die.
If we had seen the Batman been like broken or whatever, and then it would have been a lot more earned.
No, that's fair.
About it.
Yeah.
It's bad movies and bad planning at the end of the day. There's nothing wrong with Ben Affleck.
I don't know whether either of you got the four-part DC trailer where when it came on, everyone was like, why the fuck are they advertising the Batman before the Batman? It was like an ad for The Flash and Aquaman.
I think they're showing that before every showing or something. I saw that at my three showings.
Okay, so Batfleck is out. Robert Pattinson is in. What are you now thinking, Chris?
Well, just to get back to your first question about my preamble up to the Batman, I've also been iffy on it ever since it's had its production issues when it was a Ben Affleck-directed thing, and then he is like, I'm actually done with the Batman. Blah, 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 up to today. When Robert Pattinson was announced, obviously I was kind of iffy on it. I wasn't immediately like shocked or thought he wouldn't make a good Bruce Wayne. I do respect Robert Pattinson's acting. If you haven't checked out Good Time or The Lighthouse, both tremendous films, great films, I'd say in Good Time, honestly, he blends into that role and you don't really know it's Robert Pattinson. The Lighthouse, I will say, great, great role or whatever, but it does kind of just look like Robert Pattinson at the end of the day.
Yeah, okay.
So I do understand that criticism. I will say in the Batman, I don't really see Robert Pattinson. I kind of see like this character or whatever. But anyways, to go back to my preamble, ever since I saw the suit, I was kind of into it a little bit more than you guys. I was very intrigued by all the hype on if it was the gun hilt in the bat symbol or whatever, and I thought the suit was more fun and it kind of looked like it had been put together by somebody. I get the hockey pads gripe.
What does he use the bat symbol for? To cut some police tape?
Well, that's the funniest thing about it is I feel like they only threw that scene in because of all the hype leading up to it. They're like, well, this is just something that Matt Reeves thought, like maybe he has a knife in his seat or something, and they're like, well, now we got to show. We have to write a scene where we show that it's a knife. Yeah. And he uses it twice, thank you very much. He also uses it to cut the wire at the end.
Yeah.
But my preamble, I signed up 2 months in advance for an early showing through Fandango to try to see the movie a couple weeks before it came out. Unfortunately, I was unable. I did see the very first showing on the first day that I was able to, the day before it came out, at like 6 o'clock. Saw that, and I have seen it 3 times in the theater since, so it's a good one.
Yeah. I've only seen it once. Colin's only seen it once, but yes, this kid apparently has nothing better to do than
I got plenty better to do. It's
spend
just
12 hours
online.
In a theater. So all right, well, let's jump into the Batman one more time. You know, spoilers, because yeah, you don't want this movie spoiled for you. I kind of dig the whole you know, detective noir aspect of it with the voiceover at the beginning. I've heard haters about the voiceover, but this made me feel like I was watching a comic.
I like it. Voiceovers are kind of cliche at the beginning of movies, so I like, whatever. The one thing I will say about it is, unfortunately, especially because it's like a little bit darker, mm-hmm. and because I had recently watched the motion comic, Watchmen, It kind of gave me Rorschach's journal entry vibes, especially because it starts off with a date, which I believe Watchmen issue number one starts off with Rorschach reading a date from his journal. Yeah. So yeah, just the August 31st.
No, it was October 31st. It's the longest Halloween, man.
October. I'm just messed up. Whatever. But and yeah, the long Halloween comparisons are whatever. There's a couple very close comparisons to the long Halloween, but it's more based on a year zero comic where the Riddler like blows up the city. But yeah, very good movie.
I love that. I've probably listened to it 100 times since I watched the movie, but I love that Nirvana tune.
Yeah.
something in the way. I just thought I love that noir feel. I like the voiceover. I agree with you, Sean. It made it, and I think what I love about this movie overall is that it feels like seeing a comic book come to life.
Yeah,
like, and even to go back to, like, the suit, even though I kind of judge it on the offhand, with how dark the movie is, it's like you don't see all the, like, little nitty-gritty details, and it really pops in that dark, shadowy. Like, anytime you see him just emerge from the shadows, I'm like, whoa, so good. Yeah.
I don't know if I like heavy footstep Batman, though.
That's the funny. I love it. It's just so scary, and that's, like, his whole thing is fear or whatever. Like, this Batman is all about fear, so he's just so damaged, and he puts on his eyeliner and listens to his Nirvana and rides his motorbike around in the dead of night. I love it so much. Oh, it's so good.
The thing I liked a lot in the voiceover is that acknowledgement about, like, I can't be everywhere. You know, like, it's a big city, I can't be everywhere, but panning to all the different criminals doing their thing and seeing the signal, and then they're like the one where the graffiti guy drops his can and it goes in the shadows, and it's just like, he's like, doesn't know. Like, I love that. That's the most Batman thing I think I've ever seen on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you better not vandalize or Batman's gonna just destroy your face and shock you.
There was one bit of, like, poor, I don't know how they didn't catch this, but, like, poor DC planning in that, you know, when he meets that Joker gang or whatever, and they have the one guy they're gonna, like, jump in. Mm-hmm. That kid plays Tim Drake, which will mean anybody to a Batman fan. He plays Tim Drake in Titans.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did you allow this guy who plays a very notable Robin into the Batman, not as this thing? Like, it's weird.
However, he's the one that is thinking of recruiting. What if this is what converts him? What if that actually is Tim Drake?
I mean, and it's possible. At some, it'd be cool.
I mean, they've announced, like, the HBO Penguin series and everything like that. They are definitely trying to...
Robert Pattinson said if they're going to do Robin has to be 13.
That's very specific.
Well, it doesn't make sense for this Batman to be running around with another adult. He's damaged or whatever. That's just going to make him more unhinged and damaged. And
it also wouldn't make sense for this guy to play Tim Drake, because, I mean, in Titans, if he was the same, I mean, he could, but if it was the same, if it's the same Tim Drake, or if they're going multiverse, who knows what the shit they're doing.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's like, in Titans, I mean, you already have a Batman, and you have Nightwing and all this other stuff. So it's like, it doesn't really line up timeline wise, but
no,
I just thought it was interesting.
It would make sense only for the fact that Tim Drake's Robin origin is he figures out who Batman is. In this Batman, it's kind of easy to figure out who Batman is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit.
And so maybe he figures it out and he's like, all right, well, shit, I got to take this kid on. And that kid softens him up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, but that's speculation of the future. Yeah, we're here to talk about the Batman, the one that's in theaters. Now, I mean, you know, you mentioned the fact that, you know, you agreed with me about the comic book feel. I mean, much more than like that Ang Lee Incredible Hulk movie that was a fucking disaster. Or no, that one was just The Hulk. But where Ang Lee tried to make it look like it was a comic book. But this one, I mean, there's so much point of view stuff. Matt Reeves loves his point of view.
Yeah.
You know, like it opens with the point of view from the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, him looking through the binoculars, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just impressed with how brutal it got right off the bat.
Well, that's the whole thing, is he beats the fuck out of those. And I don't think they're Joker goons. Matt Reeves actually taught, if you search it up, he has a couple interviews. He talked about that Joker and how it's more like a proto Joker. It's an early Joker. He's just a serial killer that's kind of been put away, and he hasn't really adopted the Joker persona yet. In fact, there is a deleted scene cut from the Batman where he actually visits the Joker and kind of talks to him about different serial killer techniques, a la Hannibal Lecter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he beats the hell out of those dudes who, I think they're just dressed up like that because they're a gang on Halloween or something. And then that kid has the Two-Face because he's conflicted. He doesn't really know if he's going to join their gang or whatever.
That metaphor was not subtle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but Batman pulps those dudes, and then the one guy that he was there to save is like, oh, don't hurt me. And then it kind of is like called back to on the end where the kid is the only one who reaches out to Batman, and finally everyone kind of accepts him as a hero. And he acknowledges it in his end monologue where he's like, I kind of have to be more of a heroic figure for everybody. I can't really just keep doing this fear shit, especially to good people. Good people can't be afraid of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I was super happy to see is that there wasn't a rehash of Martha and Thomas getting killed.
Yes.
Like, we didn't have to see that for the millionth time. And the way that they just, like, use Bruce's relationship, like, anytime he, like, that, when he sees that kid at the funeral, like,
oh.
I just love how haunted this Bruce Wayne is. And I think people are going to look, he's emo, whatever, blah, blah. But I think it's just like, no, this is the actual, like, what would happen in the real world. This guy has PTSD about,
and,
like,
the long
seeing
hair,
his
the
parents
emo
get
long
murdered.
Hair.
Yeah.
That's just like, he doesn't have time to take care of himself. Yeah. He's just doing his own thing.
Yeah, like, he's just a broken guy. And I like that take.
Yeah, I mean, I like that this movie addresses a lot of things that you always kind of wonder about. Like, I like that Alfred isn't just a butler. Like, I like that it's like, no, Wayne Enterprises is running because of Alfred.
Yeah.
Like, he's not his mechanic. He's not, you know, but I even like small details like the fact that they address the face paint. You know, you have other Batman movies where the cowl comes off and their face is clean. But,
even
like, this one, at least,
it in the dark night.
Yeah, I mean, this one, at least he's, like, you know, he's sweating and it's running and, you know, but he does acknowledge that this is all kind of part of the ritual of becoming the Batman when he goes out.
You even see him put it on at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like to, again, going back to this suit, is how, like, I mean, in The Dark Knight, I thought it makes sense. Like, he just has this R&D department and he just takes basically what he wants to use. But I like in this one, it's like he's fiddling in his little, like, workshop, and you can tell everything is created by him.
It's
like,
so
nothing
grounded.
nothing was just bought. Everything was, like, you know, made by him. Even the car, like, the car is tuned up by him. It's not some special vehicle he just went out and gotten and that,
like,
kind of stuff.
Everyone thought the Nolanverse was as grounded as you could make Batman the superhero, but this, like, just the perfect scene that encapsulates it is when he gets up on the ledge and goes, oh, and has to jump off of it in his wingsuit and then biffs the landing. Like, it's just, you can't get more realistic than that. Like, that's so real. And he's even, Matt Reeves has said, he's like, he's not going to do anything outlandish, so we're not going to see any killer crocs or anything. But he has talked about interest in, like, a Mr. Freeze potentially.
Mm.
Yeah,
but I've always been a fan of Clayface. That would be a fun one to animate.
Yeah,
I was
going
to say it is grounded, but I don't think, like, in the Nolanverse, I don't think you could have had a Clayface or a Killer Croc. I still think you can have it in this world.
Like, their Bane isn't a guy who does venom or anything, but Speaking of Venom, not to jump forward or anything, that scene where he injects that adrenaline into his leg and it's glowing green. Do you guys
want to know, like,
do you guys think that's Venom, or do you guys think that's just weird adrenaline?
I mean,
yeah, I was thinking
to me, it could be, it could be either or. I as a comic fan, I think Venom, because that opens up story. But
yeah, I didn't even think of that. So,
but if not, then I mean, it's totally feasible that it could have just been an adrenaline shot as well. But
yeah.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about Robert Pattinson. Let's get on to some villains or some people that are on the not as right side of the law. I mean, first of all, we've got the unrecognizable fucking Oswald Cobblepot.
Favorite character in the movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like it is not Colin Farrell. Like it is Oswald Cobblepot.
It's
like you
so
can't.
Good.
I cannot see him in that. As hard as I tried, like, and it took me out of the movie, unfortunately, for a little while, because I'm just like, where is he? I don't see him in there at all.
Yeah.
No hablo español, fellas.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I want to say, just quickly jumping backwards again, just real quick. I love that, and I know it's going to be more inaccessible for early Batman watches or whatever, but the fact that we're just getting into it in year two, and there's a couple guys already around, like, he doesn't have his main roster of villains, but the fact that a Penguin exists, and we can see Batman in a nightclub instead of just in an alleyway or whatever, or on a rooftop, like, it's just so cool to see Batman in a building.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get to see it that often. There's that Hong Kong scene in The Dark Knight. There's like a couple of examples, but it's just so cool to see him out of his element. Sorry. Yeah.
So, Colin, you reacted to the fact that Penguin is his favorite. Are you must be more Paul Dano?
No, actually, my favorite performance in the entire movie is John Turturro as Carmine Falcone. I thought every time that guy is on the screen, he steals the show. And it's just like, I love actors like that. And I mean, we're going to be doing Galaxy Quest in maybe a couple weeks, or maybe it's already come out, I don't know. But I felt the same way watching that movie with Enrico Colatoni or whatever his name is. But
yeah,
it's like, you have these guys, like, I was telling a friend, I couldn't remember what John Turturro's name was. And I was like, oh, it's the butler from Mr. Deeds.
It's the Jesus from Big Lebowski.
Jesus from Big Lebowski. And it's like, I love these character actors who just show up in movies and make them infinitely better. And he just crushed Carmine Falcone. Just everything from the way his relationship is with Selena. And every time he sees her, he softens, but is still, like, hardened. Like, he's still a hardened gangster. And then... Mm-hmm. You know, even everything with Thomas Wayne and how all that goes down, but it's just the way he delivers those stories, just so, like,
the surgery story, yeah,
so cold and, like,
yeah, he did a wonderful job,
just like gangster, for that lack of a better word. Like, yeah, I thought he was great. I thought that Colin Farrell was awesome as the Penguin as well. Probably my favorite thing about that was, I like that DC has learned a lesson in how to equally weight the importance of the characters that people are going to know. Like, it's really hard to watch the 90s movies and be like, okay, everyone has two villains and, you know, they're both equal. And here it's like, you have the Penguin, who is a major villain, but not yet.
Yeah. Like, he's got all this like gangster power struggle going on in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's there and he has his role to play, but he's not the main. He doesn't have to be the main bad guy alongside the Riddler.
He's just doing something sketchy, and he's a source of information. Yeah.
Yeah, and with your comment about Falcone, I mean, it's just like, Falcone is being used in a much better way than he has in previous movies. You know, in other Batman movies, he's more of a name.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the Nolanverse, and you see him go on trial or whatever, but he doesn't really contribute.
Yeah, he's talked about. But to actually see the gang from the inside, all these mafia men from the inside, like, it's a fascinating thing to be watching in a comic book movie, because it's like, well, that's grounded in reality. The mafia is real. Like, what the fuck is going on, right?
And the mafia plays such a bigger role in the Batman comics.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's where are the clowns that are trying to put poison gas all over the city? You know, like, it's these are real guys, and that's where this is really nice. This movie is really nice in the fact that it is, like you said, possibly the most grounded in reality of all the Batmans so far. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think Carmine Falcone? What about Paul Dano or Zoe Kravitz, Colin? What was your take on our Riddler and Catwoman?
I think that I think they did Catwoman as well as she's ever been done. 100%. I often feel really bad for Anne Hathaway because that Catwoman was just like, her only purpose was eye candy. I don't feel like she got like a fair shake. Whereas this Catwoman, I felt like she's the truest to the actual character. And not just as Catwoman, but also like in the current day with how, well, not current day, but like within the last, like within the 2000s, like, that close relationship with Batman, like they actually love each other.
Yeah, you know, like in the more recent Batman comics and stuff like that, they've been married for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I liked that aspect of, you can see the seeds of that, like a legitimate love for each other kind of there.
Yeah.
It's not like in Batman Returns where it's just kind of like there was a horn dogness to it.
Yeah.
And then
just all that leather. It's hard not to go at each other.
Yeah.
And it was also nice that she had her own story. Like, she's kind of like conducting her own investigation alongside, but also outside of Batman. And it's like they just intersect whenever they need to. And then the Riddler, it was interesting. Like, I really like Paul Dano.
Is it Dano or Dano? I thought it was Dano.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Okay. At least we've said both then. Okay.
But I remember the first time I saw the look of him, I was a bit thrown off. But I liked how they linked it all together. Like, I liked how it kind of echoed current day with all the message boards and the, like, nationalist rhetoric what we've seen with kind of, you know, like the Christchurch shooter and all that in New Zealand. Like, it was very reminiscent of that, like, eerily so. Yeah. And it's a different take on the Riddler. He's not there jumping around in a green suit and laughing all over the place.
Paul Dano, Dano or whatever, read the script for the first time and went, no green spandex in this one, hey?
I thought he did a great job.
With the Riddler, though, is it a little anticlimactic that we get to the end and Batman has to take out, like, his 50 disciples instead of the Riddler himself?
The main issue I've heard with the film is that everybody seems to think that last scene there is studio interference or something like that. Because it seems like it ends kind of nicely before that, and then maybe they just had some suits lying around and realized it needed a big action-packed ending. Like, it seemed like it was supposed to just end on that bummer note. Maybe the city flooded, and then, Batman rescued a few people or whatever, but, I don't think so. I was fully into it. In fact, the movie needed another action sequence, so I'm glad they put one in there wasn't initially planned. But
it's definitely, I do remember thinking, because, again, I had a drink and I really, really, really needed to piss at that point. Yeah. And I thought the movie was over, and then it kept going for another 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of thought they were going into a little bit of they've set up kind of like a no man's land situation.
Exactly.
With the city flooded. So to me, it made sense that all happened. And just to have, like, the moment, there wasn't the resolve. I thought, like, if anything, I think that makes me think it wasn't studio interference is the way it's resolved with the kid. Like, that scene is important. That scene has to happen to kind of change the public perception of Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone thinks that kid might, or no, I threw it out there. Not everyone, sorry. I whispered to my girlfriend after that. I was like, do you think he's going to be the new Robin because his dad died? Or I said his parents died, and she went, well, no, his mom's still alive. And I went, aw, damn.
Yeah. With all the video phone messages that the Riddler was putting out, I definitely got vibes of when the Joker did that in Dark Knight. There's something about getting it up in the face and making a type sound, you know, that it's like, oh, okay. Well,
it definitely echoed that for sure. That's what I was thinking too, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we've got a new Alfred. We've got Andy Serkis. What I don't have much to say about Andy Serkis.
They haven't
casted
a bad Alfred. It's hard to say anything wrong about the Alfred.
He had so little role in this movie, I found.
Well, he had a good role. He was accepted as Bruce's father at one point during the movie. As you said, he kind of runs Wayne Enterprise in the background. He's not just the butler. In fact, they have a woman to do the cleaning. Thank God.
I mean, I like that they included him as, on the cipher, though. Like, it wasn't just the bat computer figuring
it
all.
Yeah, he's got his
like
British Secret Service days. He helped crack the Nazi code or whatever back in his service days. Or, so he's, yeah. That was fun.
I like Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
I do wish that we would have got to see more of Jeremy Irons, just because I like him as an actor. And it's fun to hear. It's fun to hear Scar as Alfred. But
yeah,
I agree with Chris. I think that Andy Serkis was a good Alfred for the amount of time that they gave him in this movie, which really wasn't all that much.
Yeah, especially with a 3-hour movie. Yeah, you'd think that the percentages could be higher with a movie that long. So, okay, now, finally, I mean, you know, the one big relationship we haven't touched on at all, this is a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you punched me in the face. Move his head back and forth so that they look like they're fighting. Ah,
Could have at least rolled your punch. I did. Oh, that's the other, I mean, the other big laugh in the theater was with you've got a lot of cats.
Yeah, that was, there are not many laughs in this movie. Yeah,
no.
Which is great. It should be, as hard as it is to take guys in spandex punching each other seriously, it's a subject matter that should be taken seriously.
I'm a huge Gary Oldman fan. Oof. I'm a big fan of J.K. Simmons, but he's always J. Jonah Jameson to me. He's not a Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, it was hard to
and
see.
Pat Hingle back in the day, I mean, you know, he was just too old as a Commissioner Gordon. I like Jeffrey Wright's Commissioner Gordon. Lieutenant Gordon. Well, and that's what Gary Oldman was at first anyway.
Oh, well, yeah.
But for me, Jeffrey Wright, it's neck and neck with Gary Oldman. I think Gary Oldman still has the edge for me, but they use Gordon so much in this one. That's why it's hard to tell, because you get to see so much more of his character than you ever did of Gary Oldman.
Jeffrey Wright also plays a tremendous Batman in a couple animated specials, as well as the Batman Audio Adventures, which is like a podcast, a comic or whatever.
And The Watcher, of course.
Plays The Watcher as well.
So, yeah. Colin, what did you think of our Commissioner Gordon Batman team-up? Lieutenant Gordon.
God damn.
Our Gordon Batman team up. Yeah,
I thought he was great. I like that very first scene where you see him bringing Batman into the crime scene, like,
yeah,
and bringing him alongside and giving him space to work. And this isn't to do, but the one thing I also really liked about the movie is getting to see Batman's detective work.
Yeah,
like the getting to actually see him as a detective, and I think that comes out.
Yeah, I like when he goes over and looks down at the wood where the carpet pusher or carpet tugger or whatever it was called, where it hit the ground, and he looks down for a little while, and then that's when someone comes over with the camera, because it's just like, okay, I saw this, you didn't, and then it's like, oh, hey, good.
In The Dark Knight, we see him do some, like, super high-tech ballistic detection or whatever to see which caliber round or whatever. But it's cool to see Batman walk around a murder scene, because that's the most detective you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. And I liked, you know, even when they're going after the Penguin there and they're doing, like, the good cop, bad cop thing and they're, like, driving their cars all over the place. And it's cool to just see them, like... I feel like the Dark Knight trilogy played off that joke about Gordon talking and Batman disappearing so much that it kind of you just kind of feel bad for Gordon at a certain point. But I don't think they did it at all in this movie.
Oh no, they did it a bunch. Every time they're talking next to the bat signal, Batman eventually disappears. And then the main one was when they're in the orphanage and he discovers that Bruce Wayne's the next target. He just disappears.
There was that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was the cop when they pull up the carpet, and Batman just disappears there too.
That's the other one. Yeah. Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does it a couple of times.
Yeah. I mean. I definitely love how, like, the cops just finally kind of accept the fact that he's going to be around at these crime scenes.
Well, a couple
of
cops do. The non-corrupt ones.
The non-corrupt ones, yeah.
Not the mustache with a broken nose.
Was there anything about the movie that you guys, for lack of a better phrase, like didn't like or found hard to like
I didn't
justify
like the
or
Joker. I didn't like
that's the
that felt like a
voices.
very shoot-in
That's
scene.
the other thing too, is yeah, it that
Shoehorned
also
in.
that's
Yeah.
the one that felt the most like studio interference to me.
Yeah.
They're like,
Yeah.
yeah, expand the universe, have them become best friends in prison or whatever. That was lame.
Yeah.
That one
I'll admit.
I did, yeah, I agree. I felt like that. I just always feel like I remember even at the end of Batman Begins being like, as much as you always want to see the Joker and The Dark Knight is an incredibly amazing movie,
Incredible.
I just thought that for this setup, hold off on the Joker. Like, keep it in your back pocket. We don't need it right away. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so that one I could see studio interference, where it's just like, we know everybody wants the Joker. We know everybody
Yeah.
wants to see him. So like here, even the fact that they put those gangsters or whatever in the trailer, I think kind of, you know, immediately got people talking
Yeah,
because
everybody thought it was.
everybody wants the Joker at some point, right? But it's like one of those things that's like you just have to keep it in your back pocket a little bit and not just throw it out right away.
Yeah.
Me personally, as the biggest Batman fan I know, I would have loved to see a trilogy where maybe he's just mentioned even. We don't see him.
Yeah.
I would
Like,
like to be honest that the deleted scene you talked about, if they were going to do it, I think
yeah.
that was the perfect way to do it. He's already
Exactly.
in jail. He's not going to be the main guy maybe until the like penultimate scene of the trilogy when he escapes and has to go back, but it's like give everybody else time to breathe.
Yeah,
Yeah. No, I personally
Tell your
think,
gangster story.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, if they had kept that deleted scene, and hopefully if there's ever like a DVD release or the director's cut or something, hopefully that scene's in it, because they definitely filmed it. He talked about them filming it. But it'd be tremendous to see something like that, and to just have a Joker in prison. I don't know if you've ever played like the Batman video games or anything, but obviously these movies took a lot of inspiration from them. But the first Batman video game, the Rocksteady ones, is Arkham Asylum, and that's about Joker purposefully getting captured by Batman, taken to Arkham, and then taking over the prison. And it'd be like a bottle episode for Batman, where he's just stuck in the prison trying to take down the Joker, and that
Yeah.
would be really, really cool. But yeah, exactly. I agree with Colin. It's totally something to keep in your back pocket. Keep him in a cool setting where you can bring him out at a moment's notice. Arkham Asylum is the perfect one. He can break out of a place he always does.
Yeah, I think go I like obviously like speculation or like fan planning for like how the trilogy goes forward. I definitely think one movie should be entirely within Arkham Asylum and just have like go that route. I also think like they laid a lot of groundwork for the Court of Owls, which I think would be awesome to do, and Hush, which I think
Hush.
would also be a really cool story to tell on screen.
Leading up to this movie, I thought it was going to be playing more on the Hush storylines, because if you've ever seen at least the animated version of the Hush comic book, and he does play a role in the main Hush comic book, but the Riddler is a very main character in that, and he has like this weird bandaged face or something in the trailer. So I did think it might have been kind of a Hush story initially, but yeah, Hush is also written on the screen at one point during the movie, so that's definitely a future sequel. And Court of Owls, I agree too. There's a couple Riddler cards that have owls on them, so maybe he knows what's on, since he knows all the corrupt shit that's going on in Gotham apparently.
Well,
One thing I did also want to ask, sorry, is did you guys pick up on the fact that the Riddler doesn't actually know who Bruce Wayne was, or did it take you a couple minutes?
I mean,
no, I got.
I realized that. Yeah, no, I got that. I do like the psych out, because you think 100% that's what the case is. But yeah, no, I know he doesn't know. Yeah.
I did like the lead up to that though, with Batman being like, I've never seen that before where you could tell like Batman is afraid his secret, like his whole world is about to unravel.
Yeah,
And it's
well,
just such a like weird cathartic moment to see when you see him realize that, oh, this guy actually doesn't know, like I'm safe. Like I'm still safe.
and it just goes to show how like mentally damaged this Batman is. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with him at all. Like, technically it does. It has something to do with Bruce Wayne, but Batman is a separate entity for the sake of this conversation. But it's just he's so paranoid and he's staying up at night and he's putting on his eyeliner and beating everybody up. Like, he's not in a correct state of mind. So yeah, he's connecting the dots and thinking it's all about him and that his secret's going to get revealed because he's paranoid and in his head. And then, yeah, just to see that release where he's like, okay, I still have my mask on. The Riddler's totally right. Like, that is the true him with that mask.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, thank God, my protection's still there. Mm-hmm. I can try to scare this dude. Because until then, he's just biding his time. He's like, oh, shit, this dude knows. Don't say anything until you know he knows. But, yeah.
I think, to me, that was one of the starkest differences between the Dark Knight Batman and this Batman. Like, this
another Dark Knight reference. The interrogation, yeah. Sorry.
This Batman, like, the Pattinson Batman is very much Batman is his true self. In the Dark Knight, the duality is still very stark. Mm-hmm. Like, Batman is just the symbol that Bruce Wayne needs to kind of inspire the people of Gotham. But yeah, he's not necessarily Batman at the core.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To go back to my original question, the the one thing that kept kind of throwing me off was when he becomes like motorcycle Batman, motorcycle Bruce
Wayne.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
okay.
Like, how does that suit fit in the backpack? Somebody needs to explain this to me, like how this massive suit fits in this small backpack.
Well, the Batman pants, if I'm not mistaken, he is always wearing
them.
They kind of just look like cargo pants. So I assume he throws a hoodie on over the bat suit, which is sketchy if he ever got pulled over or something. So maybe it's just the cape and cowl in the backpack. But it did throw me off because at the very end when he's going to stop Selina from murdering Falcone, He's in the motorcycle suit, and then all of a sudden he's in the bat suit grappling up the elevator. And I was like, yeah, does he just have that on
him? Well, yeah, see, so because I had to think about not it, only would it be cape and cowl, but it would also be like the Gatling gun of darts that he has around his arm and his
shockers.
Leg. I mean, huh?
I think those are the shockers. I think those
okay,
are his tasers.
Okay, well, but either way, though, those would have to be in the backpack.
Yeah.
I mean,
you probably
those
don't
are bulky.
Walk around with your utility belt on.
No.
Yeah, so that's probably in the belt or in the backpack.
I didn't even know until I saw it wasn't actually until I saw the Funko Pop figure for the Batman of this movie, because the Funko Pop figure has like the two like scorpion. It looks like the scorpion from Mortal Kombat, like the two spears cooked
things coming out of the
gauntlets.
Yeah.
And when I first saw that, I was like, oh, that's weird. But actually, it worked well in the movie as his grappling gun
or whatever.
Yeah.
Loved it, yeah. And it also begs the question if it's like a contraption that's hooked into the suit. Because, I mean, if you're swinging from buildings like Spider-Man or something, or like Batman in this instant, like that probably just dislocates your shoulder once you reach the end of that swing, right? So like if it's like actually built into the suit, maybe the suit's taking the brunt of that force when he's pulling out, because like that must just hurt your arm eventually if you're constantly
holding on
for dear life.
My one friend brought this up, but like, you know, unlike most people who play superheroes in movies, like Robert Pattinson clearly didn't go through like the effort of putting on 40 pounds of muscle.
Yeah,
but I actually thought it was okay because the suit bulks him so much. And it kind of makes sense because...
And it makes him bulletproof.
Yeah, because at one point he takes a shotgun blast to the chest and is fine. And so I was like, that suit must be pretty thick.
Shotgun blast is the one thing that slows him down. Every other bullet is fine. And to your point, just slows him down. He does take and continue to go.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you guys were just talking a little bit about some of the gadgets. You know, we've got all these spring-loaded things. I do like that...
No batarangs.
A lot of them... Well, yeah, see, that's what I always thought the chest was going to be. But, yeah, I mean... But a lot of them do seem like things that are actually legitimate. But we haven't talked about the ultimate gadget of them all. And I'm not talking about the contact lens.
No, I'm talking about...
I'm talking about... The Batmobile.
I just want to say right off the bat, introducing it like it's a fucking monster was the best choice you could have made for that scene. Like it revving up and jumping forward and all you see is the lights and the silhouette. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's the best. I love the Keaton Batmobile. It's really hard for me to to get away from that one. But I would say it's, I like the fact that it's a legitimate car.
Yeah.
Compared to the last two that we've seen where they look like weird
tanks.
Military tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I like that this one was a car.
Yeah. And I have to say that car chase is hands down one of the best scenes in the movie.
One of the best car chases.
Yeah. One of the best I've ever seen. It's amazing.
Just like even when
he guns it and just ramps it. Oh.
Yeah. And like avoiding everything that's flipping. And but just even the sound when the penguin goes across the on ramp and it's the of all the barrels that he's hitting. Yeah. I mean, that Batmobile was pretty rad.
The score. Gotta say.
Yeah, the score is.
The score is from every time I heard that Batman score, Mike. The hair on my arm stood up.
Yeah.
Which I love. You mentioned you didn't like the slow walk into the room. I loved it initially. I thought it was so unnecessary when he went to save the DA. he wasn't trying to scare that dude. He could have just walked into the room, but no, he had to make an entrance so the cops are still afraid or whatever.
Yeah.
Just silly. Yeah.
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 Now, I mean, you know, I mentioned that the car chase is one of my favorite scenes, like, for action. One of my favorite scenes just to watch, like, cinematically, is the one hallway scene that takes place in the dark that is only lit by machine gun blasts. That is a fucking cool hallway.
Robert Pattinson talked about shooting that scene. They legit didn't use any lighting for that scene. It was all lit by squibs, so they blocked it out or whatever in the hallway before. When they turned off the lights, the production crew didn't realize that they like would have to come up with ways to film in the dark still. So everybody's like walking around with their phone flashlights trying to figure out where their marks were. And then, yeah, he just walks forward a couple feet and they just blow a couple squibs off of him. And he did it for some reason, even though it's in the dark and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No,
that seems really cool.
And the club scene, I mean, whoa, take it easy, sweetheart. I mean, just going through, like, I mean, I even love the moments, like, even trying to get into the bar where it's, you know who I am? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then he does the exact same thing as Bruce Wayne later on.
Yeah.
Like, I like those parallels, like, both at the club scene and also with that one cop who's, like, at first is trying to keep him out of the crime scene and then... He's like, oh, you're Bruce Wayne. Like,
yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how I am so much more impressed with, like, the subway platform scene I am of, like, the city flooding. You know? Like, the city flooding, it's this huge disaster, but it's like, I was so much more impressed with, like, how they filmed all the fighting and everything like that.
Also,
instead, on
my three watch-throughs, that whole, like, city flooding, and I get that it's the big twist at the end, it's not really set up in any way. We don't ever get to see a shot of a seawall and to notice the importance. Like, there's no climate change mention of, like, rising sea levels and Gotham having to deal with it. Like, if they just one throwaway line could have set up that ending a little bit better is my one bomb about it.
Yeah.
And I've watched it true. 3 times in theaters. I could be wrong. I will be watching it plenty more once it comes out, but as far as I'm aware, there's no real throwaway line to kind of set up that ending.
Yeah. Any other top moments to mention there, Colin? Like I listed off a couple.
Oh yeah, your favorite scenes.
Yeah, like favorite scenes.
I feel like we've gone through most. I'm trying to think if there's any outliers.
I like the Batcave. I like the downtown subway, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2, Secret of the Ooze Batcave that he has going on.
And to hear the bats when you go in, it's just...
Yeah.
You always got to have weird bat noises when you enter the Batcave. Yeah. Even though I doubt they're always making noises, but it just, it put me at home. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've covered all my favorite scenes. Like, I love the car chase. The platform fight was awesome.
The saw traps, I'm impressed that they went that dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, and like even the fact that they do flood out the city at the end, I'm just like, oh, this shit.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to stop it.
Or at least stop part of it.
Well, you know? Gave him more credit than you should have.
Yeah.
He's not as smart as you thought.
Yeah.
I will say that if when the movie comes out, if somebody doesn't supercut the end scene of Batman and Catwoman riding their separate ways on motorbikes with "See You Again" from Fast and the Furious, like the world is not just, because that was I was watching that scene, and then in my head all I hear is dun, 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 like it's just and I just turned to my buddy and I was like, oh, it's the same as Fast and the Furious 7.
Okay, so now let me ask the hardest possible question that I can possibly ask. Favorite Batman movie?
I was already talking about this with you before we started rolling. I've got to watch it another 15 times before I can decide. The Dark Knight is by far probably the movie I've seen the most in my life. I've seen that movie, I wouldn't hesitate to say, like 30, 40 times.
Okay, and then let me try the mini follow-up question. Favorite Batman?
He plays a good Batman. Not my favorite Bruce Wayne. I do like the that's no qualm against the movie. It's okay. Still a very good movie. I like the take on Bruce Wayne because, I mean, the man wouldn't be able to really control his personality or his emotions or anything. He would kind of be a damaged little weirdo nut. And that's, again, no qualm against this Batman. Yeah, it's just exaggerated, funny take. I love this take. I'd say Christian Bale plays a wonderful, wonderful Bruce Wayne. Robert Pattinson plays a wonderful, wonderful Batman.
Yeah.
That would be my takeaway at the end of the day. And that's not to take away from either or of their characters. That's not to take away from Christian Bale's Batman or Robert Pattinson's Bruce Wayne. Okay. Both good takes.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know for me, I will say this isn't my favorite Batman movie. Part of it is Batman and Robin. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. It's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that I wasn't psyched leading up to it, I walked out of there going, okay, that was a good movie. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's so much more of a thinking man's Batman, if that makes any sense. I mean, because it does have the whole crime story, which I don't know. Like, I prefer some of the chaos and some of the excitement that is brought by some of the other movies. You know, I'm sorry. I like seeing Bruce Wayne get sucked out of the high-rise building in Japan with a fucking balloon, right? But it's a great movie. It's a great cop buddy cop movie. It's a great detective story. Not necessarily my favorite Batman movie, though. Mm. I will say also that as far as my other question that I gave you goes, Pattinson, I'm still deciding. He was a really good Batman. He did a fantastic job. You got to stop doubting casting directors, people. Like, when it comes to, like, Michael Keaton, Heath Ledger, Gal Gadot, like, all these people that everyone thought would be terrible choices for these roles, and they've always just crushed it every time. Robert Pattinson came in, did his thing, and, you know, he did do a great job. I guess maybe it's the fact that I don't like his Bruce Wayne as much as other Bruce Waynes that has me on the fence about this Batman.
Bruce Wayne is only in 7 minutes of it.
Yeah, but his Bruce Wayne is also his Batman. And so I looked forward to a sequel that might start separating those personalities. But so, I'm not ending on the highest note, so we're going to throw it to Colin. Colin, favorite Batman movie?
It's abso-fucking-lutely not how you shouldn't have thrown it to me to end this. I hated this film.
So, I honestly think the only two Batman movies in the conversation for the best Batman movie are between this movie and The Dark Knight.
100%.
Which is kind of funny because they're very similar in terms of, like, how the villains operate and, mm-hmm. like, the gangster undertone. So I think there's something to, like, having a Batman gangster movie that brings out the best in Batman.
Yeah.
I think I have to give it to The Dark Knight. I think The Dark Knight is a better movie, mostly though bolstered by the performance of Heath Ledger. It doesn't really have anything to do with, like, Christian Bale's performance as Batman. Mm-hmm. I would pin it mostly to Heath. I still think again, if you like traditional Bruce Wayne, then yeah, Christian Bale has to be your guy. I think Pattinson, oh man, that's so hard. I think that The Dark Knight is a better movie, like, in general, in the same way that I think, like, Captain America Winter Soldier is like the best film. It's like one of the it's probably my favorite actual like movie, and that is just a spy movie in the Marvel universe. I would equate that to how I feel about The Dark Knight. Like, I think The Dark Knight is the better film, but I think that The Batman is the better Batman movie in terms of what, in terms of like the character, how Batman is in his world, how all the other characters are like weighted in their, you know, like what they're doing in the movie. And even like the performances, like, yeah, I love Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon, but you know, I think I like this guy. I like the Gordon Batman relationship, and the Batman to me is truer to my comic book Batman, which is kind of how I'm basing this question, than the Dark Knight. So okay. Yeah, the Dark Knight is the better movie, but the Batman is the better Batman movie. And I agree with all the criticisms of Pattinson's Bruce Wayne, but I still think it works for the tone that we have going for here. And so okay. I think that overall Pattinson is the he's the truer Batman, if that makes sense. Okay. That's how I'm going to phrase it.
I see where you're going.
Nolan movies are, he just makes a better like blockbuster. They're just so much more exciting to watch. The one thing I will say about the Batman, and the one thing I'm bummed about it, because I will be investing so much time watching it, is that it's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I love every minute of it, but it's hard to go, yeah, I have time for a 3 hour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Lord of the Rings. Like, I have a kid now. Yeah. I'm never going to watch the Lord of the Rings again. I don't have the time for it.
And I will say this one, like, much more like beautiful and artsy, and it takes a lot more time to linger on certain shots of the Batman one.
But,
so like, yeah, just the Nolan movie is much more accessible and a better blockbuster, I will say.
But the artiness, though, is done in a way, though, that works so well.
Well, yeah, that's no issue.
No. What I'm saying is that when Man of Steel first came out, like, just even from the trailers of Man of Steel, I always thought, oh, well, this looks like a $200 million art film. Like, because he's trying to do stuff with the camera to make it look artistic, like the slow motion swings and shit like that. Whereas this one, I like point of view upside down Penguin while Batman is walking towards him. I like, you know,
and the silhouette shot. I thought it was silly on my first watch, but on the second and third, I loved it when he leans in to look in the window. It's like, you didn't have to get on your knees and hunch down to look at him.
Yeah, so, I love, like, the framing of when Penguin is driving away from the explosion. Like, I love the cinematic value of it, but it's done so much better than Zack Snyder did in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That is the Batman. You know, if you were listening to that and you want to know what
ass.
We... What?
Mini-sode my ass.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah. If you were listening to that and you want to know how we actually felt about the Batman, I guess we didn't make it any clearer for you whatsoever. But, you know, you make your own opinion. Who's your favorite Batman? Which one's your favorite Batman movie? Let us know. How can they let us know, Colin?
Well, you can go to our website, www.iselectthisone.com, and find links to all of our social medias and let us know on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Or you can email us at iselectthisone@gmail.com and let us know why the Batman is your favorite Batman.
That's right. And a big thank you to our super Batman fan, Chris Wells. Thank you for joining us once again.
Sorry for lengthening this podcast by like 40 minutes, probably. Because my dumbass loves talking about Batman.
We need to do a Batman spinoff podcast with Chris.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, for sure.
I know a thing or two about Batman, that's for sure.
Yeah. If you like that show, guys, we just ask that you share our posts, give word of mouth, tell people about our podcasts, go give us reviews on any of the podcast sites, or if you want to become a producer of the show, just like our buddy Joshua Blum, and get a shout out just like he did, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.